I'm recording this, so anything you say can and will be used against you in the Bellis Falls podcast, Dammy.
Fantastic. Good thing I know you and you can just defend me against my own words, so perfect.
I did that for 1 year, you know, so I figured I can do it again. Well, you know, I don't think at this point in our lives, Dammy, I mean, you were 6 years younger than me?
Was it only that?
I was 22 when I started
coaching. That's really cool. Honestly, that's probably why there was such a big impact right off the bat.
Like, good or bad?
in a good way, because prior to that, our coaches were always trying to force strategies or even just try to force the game that did not really exist or comprehend to us at that. I don't even want to use names, but when you came in, it was kind of different. It was almost as if governors were lifted a little bit, and it, probably because you were also playing a different game than we were previously coached as well, being 22, and we were, what, 16, 17?
17, yeah.
So we're playing the same game. We're not playing the same game as our coaches that are going to be in their 40s.
No, I learned the hard way that the back-to-the-basket game was going out the window a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the first year when I had you and Peter Francis and, you know, we had a back-to-the-basket guy, and that was Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And my struggle with you guys was, how do I kind of feed around that, right? I mean, I'll be frank with you, Dammy, for all of you guys who don't know who Dammy is. Dammy graduated in 08 from Bellis Falls, played 4 years at Castleton, was a starter the last 2 or 3 years, was it?
Let's say last three. The way our system ran, it was very hockey substitution, depth style, style where it was just matchup based. At that level, it's winning games, and it's not about skill in the traditional format as you may see it at the high school level. Is okay, who, when they are on the court, gives us a statistical edge to win games. And that was the cool part, and it's so ironic, is what I do now for a career in data. We incorporated a ton of data in the way we trained and in the way that we played, and it almost gave it spit out an equation as to who will help you win.
Now, would you go into a game and there would be a, like, you know, obviously not at Bellis Falls, we weren't that sophisticated yet back then, but would you go into a game at Castleton, and you guys were a very competitive Division III program at that point, kind of knowing the amount of minutes and when you were going in and out, or was it still a lot of feel with just the analytics as a backdrop?
No, it's a job. Everyone has their jobs, roles, and responsibilities. It's almost to the point that I would say, not me because I was a great student, but many of my teammates, basketball was probably harder studying than their courses. And what I mean by that is it's not just practice. So let's say we have a game on a Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, we're watching film. We're watching the team that we're going to play. We're watching their last two or three games. We're seeing how they matched up to those teams in certain schemes. It was to the point that not only did we have to memorize our plays, we had to memorize the other team's plays. So we're studying at that level. We're studying equally as hard as we were for the courses that we were majoring in.
Would you go in with a concrete game plan? Like, all right, Dammy, you're going to start, and this is what you're going to look for early. This is how you're going to attack early, and then kind of adjust, you know, later in the game as the legs get a little bit weaker?
Yeah, so I'd say over the 4 years, freshman year, we did things the traditional style, right? We had where many guys could be playing 35 minutes to 40 minutes a game. And when you do that, obviously lots of guys are not playing. They're going to be on the bench. So that was very like Bellis Falls basketball, back to the basket. We want to get the best shots per possession. Not we're trying to score as many points as possible, or what I'll talk about later on in my career. We were trying to get the best shot possible. And I want to relate that back to the Bellis Falls style, at least when I was growing up, playing it. You almost limit yourself by taking the best shot possible, because there is that fear of failure. Okay, I have an open 3-point shot. I'm shooting 32%. Coach doesn't get happy when I take these shots, but I can make them. Man, let me pass this ball off, or let me dump it into the post for what could now be seen as a lower valued shot than the open shot that was there, because we're trying to consume all of the shot clock. What that results is 40-point games, right? You have a game that's 43 to 40. That's really boring at the college level. To where we transformed in junior year, we were trying to get shots up in less than 10 seconds, and that shot had to be a 3-point shot. We weren't really shooting twos, to the point that now we're getting 140-point games to like 110, and we're pressing the entire game. So to answer your question, yes, we know exactly what the game plan is going to be, because everything that we're going to do on the court, we've already done nonstop throughout the week. The last 2 years, our system was so good, we didn't have to conform to our opponents. They had to conform to our style. They had to conform to the way we pressed, and even if their conditioning levels could even match up to ours, because prior years, we were probably the prey, but then we became the predators because we just trained harder than anyone else. Which is why we made it to the NCAA D3 tournament, which at that point, you could train as hard as you want to. Sometimes talent is truly just that talented, when you're dealing with now the top 50 D3 schools in the nation, as opposed to just the entire net.
Video to rep ratio. How much time video are you spending versus how much time are you getting physical reps on the court?
Equal.
Equal.
Yeah.
You're spending
Yeah, it's,
as much time watching video as you are practicing, basically.
yeah, pretty much. Film was always in a classroom setting. Our program was broken up, and I was talking to my wife about this too, because people are there's like this big craze for ice baths now. And in college, you almost got in trouble if you did not take an ice bath, because we trained so hard. Recovery of our body was so important as well. No one got hurt. We trained so hard, we studied even harder, we practiced even harder, and then we just, when it came down to playing games, nothing was new to us. Nothing was new to our coach. He knew what to expect because he saw it all week. And depending on what you saw all week, you're like, okay, this guy's stroke is on this week. Let's continue going. So it wasn't always fixed for the entire season. Is how can we win games? Who is going to help us win games? And that's all it was.
So let's go back a little bit because obviously the big audience for this podcast is high school basketball players and most particularly Bellows Falls basketball players. And so you graduated from Bellows Falls in 08. And
2009.
at that point, like when, so just a little background in coaching Dammy. Dammy was and still is, I think, the most athletic player I've ever coached. Dunks on a drop step, even in high school. He was a lot skinnier in high school. He got a lot stronger in college. But just always the most athletic dude in the gym. And one of the things that really stuck out to me, and a thing that was interesting as far as my self-reflection, is back then we were talking yesterday. You're like, coach, you never let me shoot threes. And then I go to college, and that's all I'm doing is hitting threes. Do you think that, and be honest with me, Dammy, this was when I was 22 years old. Do you think that that stunted your growth by me looking at you and saying, this is your role, and really closing that door?
It did. I would say you probably set me 3 years back, because especially when you're at that age. And I'm not even trying to, I don't know if what this podcast is rated for, because time to time I'll let out a
It's rated
swear.
for honesty.
Okay, fantastic, because I am very honest. So I'm not even trying to shit on you or anything, but like when kids are that young and they're playing a sport that's so technical, it's all about guidance, right? And that's why the college sphere was incredible, because every coach was dedicated. We had many coaches. And it was dedicated to player development. Whereas, and at the high school level, you don't have the time. What do you have, 90 minutes after school?
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah, we live and breathe this stuff. 5:30 a.m. till 8, boom, fantastic. Go to class. We're back in at lunchtime for a few more hours getting shots and shots and shots. Fantastic. Go study. And then we're back in at 6. So we're probably 6 to 8 hours of basketball development a day all throughout the year, starting in August, and all the way up through May. And then in the summertime is by ourselves. But in high school, let's say I think I can shoot 3-point shots. Coach is like, no, we don't want you to shoot 3-point shots. You kind of close that door right off the bat. It's not, hey, show me that you can shoot these 3-point shots. And then after you show me, because of the work that you're putting in the gym or the reps that our shooting coach is helping you develop, let's improve your 3-point shot so that you can be valuable or actually prove to yourself that you can actually make these shots, not just in practice, but in games, because there is a difference between the two. There's practice gameplay and then there's gameplay, because when the lights turn on and the fans are there, the refs are real, and then there's wins or losses at stake after the buzzer goes off, all of that matters. So yeah, I'd say you put at least 3 years behind me to the point where it was a requirement. You weren't going to be on the team if you weren't able to make shots. So now that there is an expectation that if you're on the team, 1 through 5, we had our center shooting threes within 7 seconds on the shot clock. So when you set that expectation, you give these kids something to live up to, as opposed to just you're 6'4", you should be in the post. I think that's the old school Bellis Falls way of coaching is. But now, guess what? In the league, we got Wemby, who's what, like 7'6", bringing the ball up the court and taking a 40-foot shot. And it's almost like you either take that risk as a young player and just keep playing your game, knowing what your game is, or having someone else tell you what your game is,
And that's
which is pretty
fascinating.
easy to do.
It's fascinating, looking back, and now it's crazy to think 20 years ago, we're talking 20 years ago, we're having those conversations. And they still, those decisions, not only as a coach, but as a player and kind of they have a long lasting impact. You just rambled off for like 5 minutes. And me as a coach who's always looking for ways to improve how I convey my messages to my players and get them to buy into the role, that's as valuable a piece of information as I can ask for. And I
Yeah, especially
think
confidence-wise too. They're young boys still. They probably haven't even scratched the surface of developing their confidence at that point.
and so there, I mean, there you have it, right? I mean, and I think we as coaches a lot of times get too stubborn in our ways. And as I've gotten older and as I've gotten more confident in me, because at 22, I mean, I still considered myself a kid. I was a kid coaching other kids. And I was stubborn in my ways. And dang it, Dammy, you can dunk and you can jump, higher than anyone. And why would I want you shooting threes when you can be at the glass getting putbacks and higher percentage shots from 10 feet? And the game has evolved since then. And I think I still was those vestiges of being the traditional basketball coach with a back to the basket. Instead of being like, let's spread these guys out. We've got five guys who can put the ball on the floor. Let's keep those driving lanes open. So we can, get those kickouts for open shots, and all five guys can hit a shot. And Dammy, not you were at the Winooski game earlier this year, and Winooski kind of handled us. But the group that we have now resembles a lot like the group you guys had, where there are literally five guys who can hit shots, who can put the ball on the floor, who can run the break. And I can guarantee you, Dammy, I'm not going to make that same mistake twice in limiting my athletes on the shots they can and can't take.
Yeah, no, that's really huge. It's almost as if, because I'm aspiring to coach one day too. I can't wait to coach my son and take the lessons that I learned. And then also, when I was in college, I did a lot of camps. And the cool part about that is when you get a new team, you kind of got to wait and see what your players give you before you can make a judgment not even just adjustment before you instill a strategy or a game plan for the season. Like you said, you're a young coach, 22 coming in. You came in doing what coaches do, right? You go based off of your experience. Okay, this is my team. Again, you didn't have the time. You had to get to work. There were expectations. You're a young coach, 22. Right off the bat, I mean, people probably won't talk about it. I don't know if we've ever discussed this. I don't know if you felt like this, but this is probably the first time I'll ask you. It's almost as if your failure is predetermined. So at that point, you really don't even have much time. You have kids that you got to build a relationship with. You have parents that are probably in the mix as well. There's a lot going on in during that first season. You kind of got to see what those players give you. And again, after that, you're able to determine who is on the floor that can get me wins. And the other thing too, the game of basketball has become so unorthodox, and it used to be robotic, but I'd say it's a little bit more fluid now as to the way you win games by putting the ball in the basket. However that ball gets in the basket, and also limiting turnovers to give you more possessions than the other team. It could be the ugliest game, but how can we get that ball to go in that hoop more than the other team, while also preventing them from scoring and limiting our turnovers? It's almost like there's an equation of winning games. And right off the bat, acquiring talent is the hard part, because you could have a team that you completely like. My college is going through it. We had studs for many, many years, and then studs just go away. Recruiting is very hard. Skill development is very hard. My son just started basketball this year, and it wasn't until I watched the first two practices that I was like, wow, basketball is a really difficult sport. It's very technical. It's a very tough youth sport, which is why it's probably better to get in early. He's 4 years old. I started when I was 12 or 13 playing basketball. So right off the bat, you got to play catch up with dribbling, catch up with shooting. Not to talk about the other parts, which I actually think is the better parts of basketball, is although I am athletic and I play with very other athletic people, the best players were not the athletic or the smart or the fast guys. It was the point guards that just had a better IQ of the game. They could read the floor. They know what every single position is going to do and the counters to that. It's the guys that get the most assists a game that I truly respect more, because they're the floor generals that aren't really working as hard as others are, body-wise, but their brains are doing the work. And those are the guys, and I'm sure coaches love, because it's almost as if you have an extension of that coach on the floor, as opposed to just five players trying to score points to win a game.
And it's fascinating. So I mean, you put this year's Terriers, under the microscope right now. So Friday night, big game on the road against Fairhaven team. That was, you'd say that they were heavily favored to beat us. We take them down to the wire, last minute and a half. We're down by a point, and it literally comes down to two or three plays. And I'm sure you had a lot of those games. I know we had some of those games at Bellows Falls, but back then we really didn't have the video capabilities and the technology that we do now. But put yourself in the college position. You have one of those games where you play with the best, and you know that you can not only play with the best, but beat the best. But how do you mentally, and we're talking about mental toughness now, how do you mentally go from, okay, we're there, to getting over the top, and instead of not making those two or three plays, making those two or three plays and winning that game?
Confidence and repetition. So right off the bat, anytime a basketball game starts, anyone can win, and anyone. Mental toughness definitely plays a big part of it, because 30 seconds left, right? You got to, as a coach, understanding that the guys on the floor right now, I have five guys that are locked in, focused, and they can be a bad call right now. It's not going to affect their mentals. They could be a bad shot. Fantastic. Cool. Let's just get right back on defense. 30 seconds is so much time at the end of the game that every action matters. And again, I think even back in the day, we did some 2 minute drills or something like that to simulate the end of the game. So it's almost like you almost have to put your players in that position frequently, so that when that happens, maybe once or twice in a season, they've already been there because they've practiced, practiced, practiced. But then moving on in the future, those late game situations, they'll remember that Fairhaven game, how they were very, very close to doing something very special. It can be done again. So it's practicing those high intensity situations as well as, okay, I'm in this spot. Do I have a guy, and I can ask you, do you have one or two guys right now that can put up a last second shot that you have a 40% confidence, it'll extend the game or win you the game?
I mean, the beauty of this, the beauty of the group is right now is I have a handful of them.
That's dangerous. That's very dangerous.
And you know, we're young, and you know, and so we're learning through experience. But looking back now, 20 years, you know, and well, maybe like 16 from your college, are there still those games that you remember to this day, those ones that everyone thought you should have lost and you won, and the feeling that you had when you did it?
Let me think about it. So we went to New York City. We had no business being in this tournament. We went to New York City one time for an outdoor. It was the first outdoor Division III Rucker Park tournament. Everyone knows what Rucker Park is in New York City. It's one of the premier playgrounds basketball legends have made. And here comes a group of guys from Castleton, where it's 99% white guys and me. So right off the bat, we were standing out. But the way we trained, I shit you not, we were dogs. We trained as if we were Navy SEALs to the point that we could compete with anyone. So we play our first game. I think it was against Baruch College. We beat them pretty handsomely, like 8. And then we didn't even think it was a big deal. We're just playing basketball. We're at a park. We traveled 6 hours to get there. Fantastic. First game is knocked off. Second game, me and my teammate, I don't know if you guys know Mark Comstock, we just start doing things that we just have never done before. Mark is just reverse dunking off the dribble. I caught a body on a 7-footer, and everyone's like, who the hell are these guys? To the point that we make the final game against NYU. Again, a team that, so right off the bat, two teams we shouldn't have beat. And then we play NYU. The park starts emptying a little bit because no one's going to stay to watch NYU crush Castleton by 60 points. We take the game to overtime because we always played like we had nothing to lose. And I don't know if that bias or just that dog mentality still exists in today's game. I mean, Bellas Falls were the Terriers, right? The culture is all about just being dogs, and I think that's kind of the culture historically of Bellas Falls, right? We've had really talented athletes, many athletes that I think should have gone to the D1 level, even at track or some other sports, but talent development just wasn't a thing. These ki we just got these kids with their natural talent, and they happen to be some of the best in the state. And then it just kind of didn't go beyond that. But as far as being in positions to surpass, being in positions where you win games that you're not supposed to win, those are the best games, as opposed to, okay, let's go blow out this team by 40 points. What did we learn? Nothing. But if you're able to squeeze out a game by a margin of one, or even blow out a team that you had no business playing against, you keep elevating your trajectory of one who you can play. Fantastic. We can now schedule Bellas Falls to play more competitive games because they deserve to be there. And then it kind of boosts the culture of the kids because they always expect more because they know what they're capable of, or what that culture is that they're ingrained in. It's almost like I say this all the time at work and even parenting now. Culture is what you allow. So apologies. If you allow losers to exist, we can be losers sometimes, but disavow losing, you kind of eliminate that from the culture as well. And that was the cool part about Castleton is historically it was a very losing culture until we put an attention to detail to preparation, and just kind of eradicating that from the culture, to the point that all it was after that was just championships, because not only did we believe that we deserved them, but we worked harder than anyone else. So it was almost as if we did not win, it was because we screwed up.
Well, damn, you're old, Dammy, which makes me old,
I
man. The Dammy Mustafa,
know, man.
17-year-old Dammy Mustafa, was all about what was cool, what looked good. He wanted to be fashionable. He wanted to dunk. The ladies would go crazy. He'd flex those half muscles that he had naturally grown. And now it's like this totally different dude sitting
It's
here,
ridiculous.
on a Saturday. It's pretty cool. It's pretty
I know it must be so weird to you because you're like, what the hell is
cool.
this? But trust me, I think about it all the time too, because again, basketball wasn't my first sport. It wasn't the sport that I thought I would play in college. I mean, even before I came to this country, it was all soccer. And then when I got here, soccer was not in the way that I thought. I mean, no disrespect, it's like the way we took it in London, soccer was very, very professional. And then I come here and the coach is someone's mom. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get much out of this program. So then track was something new for me. I always wanted to do it. And BF Track's program was incredible. But there was just something about basketball that basketball can give you a lot more. The lessons you learn from basketball as a man to translate very well into life. And I think about it all the time. Like, if I knew what I knew now, training for basketball in high school, first and foremost, it's contagious, right? And this, I was also thinking about this because me and my wife were doing abs yesterday, and weakness is very, very, very contagious. I see it with my son and his preschool kids too right now. So, for example, we were doing planks. I saw my wife put her knee down. Right off the bat, I'm like, okay, she's not taking this very seriously. I'm like, I can put my knee down. My knee kind of moved half an inch, and I'm like, what am I doing? Focus. Just because you saw her put her knee down doesn't mean it's time for you to put your knee down. And then you see it in like the preschool age, and I'm sure it's very even more contagious at the high school, at the high school level.
I mean, it's an opportunity for a lot of reps. The issue, and I think with someone like you growing up in Bellows Falls and as athletic as you were, what was not and what still isn't available in our state as a whole, maybe a little more up north, but certainly not in the south, is not specialization in a sport, but
No.
specialization in a mindset to prepare for a sport. And whatever sport it is, baseball, football, basketball, golf, there is so much more. And I think we create an expectation now that, oh, you go to practice for an hour and a half and you work hard, that's good enough. But if you really want to be elite, if you want to play at the Division III level, let alone the Division I level, you have to go above and beyond that just in training your mental toughness. Waking up, not feeling great, but still going out at 6 a.m. and getting that lift or that run in before you get, like as you said, 6 to 8 hours a day of basketball preparation. And that's at the Division III level.
We
Six to
went
eight
hard.
hours.
Yeah.
And you're not going to just be able to turn that on, going to college. It could be too late at that point, right?
Absolutely. It's just not going to be enough. If you were to make it, which I was one that did, for the first few months, I was playing catch up. I was playing catch up at the strength and conditioning level, which was awesome because it was the first time that I was even exposed to that. And I had no idea how important it was and how it translated to the development of your body. Oh, I'm stronger now, so I can now compete down low and bang with these bodies too. And that really goes a long way because the physicality and from high school to college is boys to men. There was some guys from Maine that we played, and they were just farm boys from Maine Farmington. And you can tell that these guys were just men, and we were boys freshman year. And the only difference was the weight room as well. But it's also that discipline, right? It's how badly do you want it? Have you put in the work? And you get what you put in, right? If like again, I was just as we've been on this call, I've just been looking at stats over the time. My freshman year, I took 1 3-point shot. Why did I take 1 3-point shot? Because I was forced to. It was the end of the game. It was a buzzer beater that banked off and went in to force the game to go into overtime. I didn't want to take that shot because, one, I didn't have practice taking that shot because my coach yelled at me one time for taking a shot. So it just kind of lived with me for a few
Oh, so a
weeks.
transition from high school to freshman year. That
Yeah, so I had to
was
break through
five
that. So I took one shot at three freshman year, to the point now it becomes an expectation. On I'm looking, hold on, let me go back to the other page. To now I'm taking 75 3-point shots a season.
points.
And even at that point, that 75 3-point shots was not the highest on my team. We have Greg Hughes with 363 3-point shots, shooting at 34%. Guess what? We had to shoot over 200 3-point shots a day and make at least 100 before we can move on. It's a practice shot. He goes into the game and puts up. I remember one time we were at Green Mountain College. Me and my teammates were like, damn, Greg really needs to chill out. He took 17 3-point shots, but guess what? He made 9. So think about that right there. We won the game by 40 points just by doing math based off of what we practice. 363 3-point shots in one season is absurd. And he took 250 2-point shots. So right there, you see, all we did was practice threes, and he took probably 30% more threes than he did twos as a shooting guard.
Yeah, that is certainly that you wouldn't have seen that 20 years ago.
No.
No, that's for sure.
And I mean, and check this out. What if I took 68 threes in one season in my senior year in at Bellows Falls?
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened, but out of
But
that 68, maybe
if
I could have made
you
10, and that's
if you
30
made
points.
if you made 20 of those, if you shot 60 three pointers and you made 20 of them, then that would be considered a very good percentage at the high school level. If you make one of three,
That's still good.
that's competitive. But
And
how do you get there? I mean, how do you get to that point where you have that
I don't.
confidence where you can shoot, you can shoot 10 threes and you make one, and then all of a sudden your world is imploding. How do you gain the confidence to shoot the next 10?
Knowing that you've done it so many times that this is just a statistical anomaly, and then having your coach watch you go 1 for 10 after he knows this guy goes 6 of 10, 7 of 10 most times. It's the trust and confidence in the coach to know that 1 for 10, he'll bounce back. We'll work hard. I got to see this in practice now. I got to see you bounce back from that 1 and 10 and get back up to 6, 7, and 10. And boom, we're just right back where we left off. And then seeing that result in a game, okay, I went 1 for 10 2 games ago. The next game, I went 4 for 10, but now I'm back up to 6 or 7. It's okay. We have shooting slumps sometimes. Go back in the drawing board. If that's really what you want to be part of your game or what you work on, just keep working. And then it's almost as if practice is the real game, and the game is just executing what you've learned in practice.
Does the saying that, and I always love this saying that, the game's the easy part of the season. It's the practice. It's the practice that's the hard part. Like anyone can show up and play a game, but it's showing up day in and day out, regardless of how you feel, and knowing that, like you said, you're going to barely survive that practice. And having to do that over and over again. That really is kind of, do you feel that it was that really helped you develop into the man that you are, the father that you are, the husband that you are, that grind?
Absolutely. I think mental toughness is probably the most important attribute a young man could develop early on. Because again, I think I succeeded by being the underdog always. Coming from Bellows Falls, really zero expectations. You start training with these guys that have been playing much longer than I have, practice much harder, have been on better premier teams. But then you see when it comes down to get on the ground and work, they can't do it. When you see that you can compete on the same level, on the same floor, and can work harder than these guys that have been doing it longer, it motivates you to just keep going and see, okay. Again, like I said, I didn't lift a weight until my freshman year in college. I didn't know what I was capable of. But once you start to see results in yourself, based off of the work that you put in, you kind of just keep going until you reach the plateau.
Do you think you develop mental toughness playing AAU basketball?
Do you think I would or I did?
Do you do? I mean, you compare it. So compare to, AAU, you maybe have one practice a week and then
Right.
play four games on a weekend versus if I just train
Right.
hard
Right.
for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I am just going hard in whatever scenarios I'm being put in, what do you think at the end of the day? If you could compare those experiences over the course of a spring and a summer,
Right.
what trajectory, which one is going to give you a higher trajectory?
It's all about which program that you are, but if I'm generally speaking, because there are some dog AAU teams where the culture is you get it out the mud, we are going to press all game, be the strongest, fastest, most well-disciplined team. Those teams are so dangerous. But AAU in generally speaking, from what I'm seeing right now, is an individual sport. It's players from all over the place where you make a roster and you're just trying to, what's the term? You're trying to get seen. It's almost as if it's an individual sport to network for what's next or just to get more reps in the winter and spring months. But as far as, what was the question again? The mental toughness?
But yeah,
That's
where are you
not a
going to
key.
get? Where are you going to develop more mental toughness and increase your trajectory more?
I don't believe there are really any repercussions at the AAU level because, again, one, it is pay to play, right? We're not really going to playing on your team would be harder than playing on an AAU team. So you can't get that mental toughness off the bat.
And so, if you're a young man right now, let's put young Dami Mustafa, who's just starting to play basketball, well, like sixth, seventh grade.
Yep.
Okay, so you're just starting to realize that you really like this sport. And obviously, no one really knows at that point what your trajectory athletically and everything else is going to fully be. But if you could go back in time with Division One athleticism. You are one of the few kids that I've ever coached that literally had Division One athleticism, and I only got you for 1 year.
Yep. Imagine.
But what, I mean, where are you going to catch the most eyes is developing your mental toughness over feeling good that you won with a bunch of players,
Right.
in some tournament. Like, where
Yeah.
you feel like you've like you feel like close to like you're not going to make it through that practice every day, as opposed to,
Yeah.
you're all slapping hands and having a good time because you blew out a team
Yeah.
by 40.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing right there. You just hit it on the nail. AAU's fun. You can't really develop mental toughness while you're having fun. You lose a game in AAU, guess what? It doesn't really have any merit on any of your stats because it doesn't count towards your school program negatively. People count their points when they're trying to land on a team, but they don't count any of the negatives in AAU as part of your high school career. So right off the bat, you can't develop any mental toughness there. Mental toughness is gained through experience and a practice, early mornings, through friction with teammates. And through losses sometimes, but also seeing how far you can push your body and most importantly, your mind. For example, we play, I won't use specific names, but, and we talked about this the other day. You can see, okay, we're gonna get into the honest part right now. My son is a really tough kid. My daughter may even be tougher, but when you see them around some of their friends, right off the bat, I whisper to my wife, damn, that kid's soft. But therefore, they're supposed to be soft, right? But you can tell when these kids have attributes that are equally that can equate to them being, let me call it long-term softness, right? As a four-year-old, you fall, you get down. I ask my daughter, what happens when you fall? You get right back up. Other kids, the response is, where's mommy? Come pick me up. That makes me sick. And as a coach, if you have players like that, it should also make you sick because that person right there, they're really their journey to being mentally tough is going to be much, much longer. Not saying that they're not deserving of it, but they may not even be ready themselves. And all of that stuff starts at home as well, is what players are parents bringing to coaches. And it's truly a group effort. It's not all on the coach, it's not all on the player. It starts with the parents. How much time are these kids in their garage with the basketball dribbling, as opposed to being inside with the Xbox controller in their hand? Because even just 30 minutes a day dribbling with your left hand, think about, let me take it back, 10 minutes a day, every single day in the entire year, dribbling with your left hand is more time than most basketball players have ever dribbled with their left hand in their entire playing career. Just 10 minutes a day, 365 days a year. I use it with my son as well, because we raise our family in I say a untraditional format, where we don't do any daycare. He just started preschool, but during that time, he had a golf club in his hand all of the time. I'm not a golfer. He just had a golf club in his hand, and now he's a 4-year-old with a better swing than me. Not because he is naturally gifted or whatnot. He just would be outside for an hour or two a day just swinging a golf club, to the point now he just knows how to hit a golf ball because of repetition. So mental toughness, again, is just one of those things that I think it's something that you got to develop yourself. Someone can't make you tough. You have to want that yourself. But when you're surrounded by dogs, you either become a dog yourself or you just bow out gracefully. And that's what I saw a lot of the times in my first few years of school, because it was an all new coach, right? All new program that came with players from the previous program that were the quote unquote guys. But then when you come in with new expectations, we just kind of weeded out the weak. Some guys just bowed out, because I don't know if you remember Marcus Haas. He to me was one of the best athletes Vermont has ever seen. I saw this guy windmill in socks and jeans in our gym, and I looked up to the guy too. But then it just was not his focus, and he gave up basketball to just not be part of that program. Again, not to shit on Marcus, but it just wasn't for him. So when you're surrounded by dogs, you either acclimate or you just play your position.
Yeah, you fall off the vine, maybe.
Yeah,
Specific.
and we were talking about your academy aspirations. I just picture an academy picks these kids up young. Everyone kind of knows the expectations. It's not AAU. This is a program where you're going to get hurt. Not saying that you're going to get hurt physically, but we never felt like we were gaining any progress if we weren't destroying our bodies. A good workout is you not being able to you not being able to walk down the. You had to always push your body, because you can't gain anything if you haven't stretched out far you can go. Yeah, there was many times when we were on the floor in plank positions that death seemed easier than continuing. But once you push through that, that's truly when you've mastered, I don't want to say mastered your body, but kind of what that is, right? Mental toughness, being able to control your body and your mind, as opposed to quitting early because your body and your mind are now affected by factors outside of your body and your mind.
Yeah, that's
It's
good.
pretty dangerous when you can hone that in. And I didn't get that till the college level. So let's say you pick up someone in sixth grade and they get that. They're able to get that level of self-awareness and control by ninth grade, and you get 4 years with that kid. That's a dog.